Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, and welcome to the first 2016 broadcast, podcast, or whatever it is, of the nearly defunct Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live out of New York City on this July 3rd, 2016. And I said I was broadcasting live out of New York City, when in fact it might start to sound more like I'm broadcasting out of Afghanistan, Iraq, or some of the other places we hear about in the news so often now, only because it is nearly midnight, and I'm broadcasting from New York City, and it's the day before the 4th. It's nearly midnight, and the 4th is pending, so you may hear fireworks here and there from time to time. Some of the fireworks users are coming alive out here in the distance and in various places. You know, I think about that, and I think about how it used to be back, 30 years ago, and how it used to be, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, even 20 years ago or less, how it used to be at this time with the fireworks. They started earlier, and they lasted longer. And now, since it never came back to what it was prior to the Rudolph Giuliani administration here in New York. And a lot of people will argue and say, he was hard-nosed, he was yada-yada, this, that, I didn't like him and everything. But anyone who said they couldn't see a difference during the Giuliani administration was either in denial or weren't here. That's the only thing I could say. But it got a lot quieter the times leading up to the 4th of July. I can remember a time when you had people down in lower Manhattan, in the government district, around Chinatown, everywhere. They were hawking fireworks in the street. They were yelling them in cars going by, fireworks, 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 fireworks. And these weren't teenagers. These were young guys in their 20s. And they were really seriously hustling fireworks. They were asking anybody in cars, old people, young people, middle-aged people, anybody, do you want fireworks? And I guess they were doing a business with it, but it's not quite the same anymore. With the election of Mayor Giuliani, and a lot of things were curtailed. Now they're back, and of course there was still that kind of noise, but not to the degree, and certainly not starting as early as it did in all the years prior to that. I know of what I speak here, boys and girls. I've been living here all this time. And his campaign, took us in that direction. He had said all these changes were going to be made. They were made. And like I say, a lot of people didn't like him. Well, for one thing, they thought, he's not a Democrat. That goes a long way with people's opinions here in this city. And he was something of a, no-nonsense, hard-nosed kind of guy. And it was no problem to me. It meant nothing to me, as I say. Either you didn't see a difference because you were in denial, or you simply weren't living here. And speaking of campaigning, running for office, or running for candidates for office in all my years, this has been the strangest. This has been the most bizarre. This has been the most upfront and overt campaign period that I have ever seen. Everybody is talking about a campaign like elections like never before. And I didn't follow campaign primaries and waited until the two presidential candidates were chosen. But this, this is more exciting and definitely more bizarre than any other presidential debates that I recall. And the fact that so much has gone on in society at large and so much is so worthy of opinion, I found myself overwhelmed, flummoxed, and pretty much confused over these last few months and where the heck to start talking about anything. And so, as I have said in the intro that I wrote, I don't know how many people read the intro as far as Floss Echoes. I don't know how many people are even listening to this or will listen to it later when it's archived. But all I can do is capsulize my viewpoint, you know, and especially capsulize on the remaining, well, not especially, but definitely capsulize on the two candidates now. And give my outlook on the whole CD, and yes, I said CD, give my outlook on the whole CD situation. That having been said, the whole Trump campaign is over the top. And I still say he's saying what a lot of the USA thinks, but afraid to say, especially a lot of the USA that just follows blind leadership. I don't know, maybe I should have thought it out better, but people who follow blindly because they're liking what they hear. But he's appealing to a lot of the, well, actually, white working class population and, you know, some black working class population, too, who are feeling more disenfranchised. You know, they're feeling more disenfranchised. You know, I mean, we're looking at this society now where, for the first time ever, well, it has been coming this way for a long time, but it seems more noticeable now that for the first time ever, it's not necessarily about Mr. and Mrs. White Jones or anybody of that sort. It's also about Mr. and Mrs. Black Jones. And I mean, you look at TV, you're seeing things in the media, you're seeing things in music, entertainment, in real life, more so than ever before, that crosses racial boundaries. I don't care if it's relationships. I don't care if it's jobs, positions. I don't care if what you see in the movies or anything. It's crossing boundaries in spite of the fact that we keep hearing all this stuff about the racial divide, which is media fomented, as far as I'm concerned, and it's making those people who are volatile and who are reactionary to those viewpoints, it's, in fact, making them ramp up their reactions more. But the times, they are changing, like it or not. Now, frankly, I don't believe Donald Trump is racist, but he knows how to use rape to ramp up votes. You know, this is what I feel about him. And, you know, it's starting to work, and he's knowing what demographics to go after. And it's working for him. It's working for him. And even though he has a small lead behind Hillary now, things can shift backwards or it can shift forward in any time. I don't know what the whole agenda is. I know I'm pretty sure he's not meaning everything he's saying. This whole thing is bizarre. I'm not sure of where either candidate's come. For the first time, I'm not fully satisfied with either candidate. You know, if you ask me, my opinion would be, my biggest fear is that one of the two candidates is going to be elected president. And that's as that's as much as I'm going to say about that. Now, we move on further, or rather back to the earlier part of the year. Let's go all the way back to the spring here. Back to the spring here and back to one of the bigger events here in New York City during the spring. And that big event is the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We all know about the St. Patrick's Day Parade around the world. And one of my longtime topics that I've talked about here on this show before is back again. And this time, it's with the change because LGBT factions can now march. And once again, I say gays and lesbians could and always did march in the parade. I don't care how far back you go. I don't care what kind of organization, what kind of business, what kind of contingent, what kind of marching band, or anything of that sort in a parade was there, I'm sure at some point you had, well, not at some point, I'm sure more than a number of times down through the ages, you've had people that happen to be gay that happen to be marching in a parade. And to that, I say, so what? So what? And this is not, I don't feel, is homophobic or anti-gay or anti-LGBT or anti-anything or anti-alternative lifestyle or anything. But you know, I say that all these people were marching in the parade over the years, and it didn't matter. Nobody was concerned, I think, when they're looking at the parade, of the sexual orientation or the lifestyle of the people marching in it. You know, and once again, I say it wasn't necessary, I feel, to have a contingent just representing their sexuality. And I said, as I said then, it makes about as much sense as having a heterosexual contingent in the parade representing heterosexuality. I mean, let's face it, you're gay or you're straight, or in some cases, maybe they say bisexual. I mean, you go figure it out either way. But what I'm saying is, if you're there representing whatever you're representing in the parade, that's what the parade is about. Who you are as a person sexually should have nothing to do with it, and there should never be a contingent, I feel, in the parade advertising that. Keep it for the gay parade if you're going to have that need to express. Okay, that's a place for it. But, I mean, just like any other parade, I'm sure, in the Puerto Rican Day Parade, there are gays and lesbians. And then in the Thanksgiving Parade, hey, there are gays and lesbians. Come on, they're going to be there. Now, one person being interviewed made that same statement on TV or radio or someplace. I heard it, that, yeah, gays and lesbians always march in the parade. Somewhere in there, there's always going to be some. I don't care if it's only one. And it brought back to mind my statement on it not being necessary to have a contingent marching in the parade based on sexuality. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to wonder now with things changing, and you're starting to see some of the crazy crimes happening out here. Did anybody hear about this yesterday, which was July 2nd here in New York City? First off, there was a guy on top of the tickets booth, the discount tickets booth called TKTS in Times Square. He was a model. He's standing on top of the booth. He's naked, and he's asking for where's Donald Trump or something of that sort. He's going crazy. He jumps off. He breaks his arm. On that same day, here comes a homeless man running down the street to a woman on the Upper East Side, I think in the 70s somewhere. The man grabs the woman, stuffs a bag of crap, and when I say crap, I mean excrement, down the woman's pants, and then gropes her and runs off. Now, if you didn't hear about it, you just heard about it now. You heard it right, folks. The man ran up to her, grabs her, stuffs a bag of excrement down her back, the back of her pants. And the guy was caught later. You know, he was caught later. He was on TV, and he was talking hither and yon and babbling just like the people I have heard in these conversations when you see them out there in the street. And those people, even in the shelters, it doesn't do them any good. I've worked in a shelter at one time briefly in one of the city shelter systems. I had a kind of a supervisory position there. And you did have some of the people in there who were just as far gone as this guy, and they weren't there long before they were finally back out in the street or committed someplace else too. But this guy was way, way gone. And now you're starting to see a resurgence of a lot of these kind of people coming back into the street, and I am starting to hear some people are starting to say, is our mayor taking us back to the 70s and the 80s? And possibly the early 90s, as I may have taken us back to that time, as I may have taken us back to those crazy periods, those crazy decades, with all the attendant occurrences and personalities and just everything that was associated with life in this city then. I don't know about a lot of people. There are some people who are saying that. There are people who are saying that. A lot of people who like Democrats, or I'm not saying I dislike Democrats. I'm just saying a lot of people who are just content with anything as long as the mayor is Democratic. a lot of those people are saying, well, it's not about the mayor. It's not about, you know, I mean, he's not doing a bad job and all. But I started to feel a little uncomfortable when I heard the first lady make a statement, read about her, and a statement she supposedly made talking about the 70s and how kind of crazy it was. And she missed that era. Now, I was a young guy then in that era. I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. And I think I would like it a lot less now that I'm a lot older if we went back to that. I see things now that I don't like about that era that we went through and those decades that we went through. I, for one, do not want to see New York return back to what it was. I know we were all caught up in the lifestyle one way or another. That was one thing, too. And we were all in denial in one way or another. And living that craziness in one way or another. But I, for one, at this point, would not want to see it go back to where we were. And that's all I'm going to say about that right now. Like I say, this is blitz and capsulizing things. I haven't done this in so long. So I'm out of practice on a lot of stuff. What else happened during that time here? Shortly after the St. Pat's Day Parade. Well, so much has happened. Well, the Oscars, yeah. And so much has transpired since the Oscars. But Straight Outta Compton, according to critic reviews, should have been nominated. Everything I read about it was good. And this is where the whole uproar came. Not simply because, or I feel, not simply because there were no black movies, or black produced or black directed movies nominated for Oscars. But of course, I'm basing it, as I said, on critics' reviews of the movie. And it got good reviews, and I still have not looked at it. And I try to look at quite a few of the movies in the Oscars because of the fact that I'm not one of those people. I go and see maybe one movie that was an Oscar nominee or whatever, and like so many people say, oh, man, that should have won. That should have got an Oscar. And I say, well, how many of the other movies did you see that were nominated? You know, maybe one of those deservedly won. You don't know. Just because the one movie you saw, you liked, does not mean if that was the one that should have gotten an Oscar if you hadn't seen any of the other nominations. But anyway, Jada Pinkett Smith said we should have our own. This, after finally getting past the Miss Black America and all the other things that we had to create for ourselves as black Americans. Okay, note that I said black Americans, not African Americans. I still don't like that term. I, for one, still will not use it unless I were coerced into using it in some kind of legal documentation of some sort. But anyway, I digress. That has nothing to do with that. What I am saying is that her statement is one that seems to want to take us back where there is or had to be a separate media society. This from a woman who's married to one of the biggest moneymakers in show business. She might have not won any Oscars in the last few years or so. Maybe not. But to say, let's go back and just have our own, and let's just separate ourselves and have a separate society. At least this is the way it came out to me, and not a few other people. Simply because she felt, according to her, black movies, not just that one, was snubbed. And I can understand in some cases, yeah, I was kind of put out about the fact that at least it was not nominated. And when I say it, I'm talking about Straight Outta Compton. But I, too, was put out a little bit about it, about the fact that it wasn't nominated from everything that I had read and everything I understand the critics have said about it. But to have these rash comments to that degree, that's calling for measures and actions that are not only, well, I won't say untoward, but that are totally unnecessary. It was totally reactionary. And I think a lot of people, both black and white, have, you know, pretty much not taking her to task, but talked about it, in a way taking her to task, talking about their disagreement with what she had said about this. Now that brings me to, I didn't look at the BET Awards, and I forget the guy's name, who talked about how, you know, our culture has been usurped and, you know, white people are going around listening to our music and playing our music, which has been going on for years and years, and I think more people should know about who did things originally and who these styles were taken from. Yes, and there are shows here on the radio and places where you can hear a lot of the original versions of some, you know, songs. And if not, ask the artist. They can tell you where a lot of the stuff. A lot of the general listeners don't know what the heck they're listening to anyway, or whether it's a new version of a song or if it's an old version of a song. But it's the same thing with all the rap. The people that listen to hip-hop and listen to rap and listen to all the samples. Most people don't know where that stuff comes from. And I can sit up and hear a rap song and say, oh, man, that sample in there, or that vamp or anything else, oh, that came from a song from 1972, blah, 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 that was done by, so on and so forth. And, you know, even my daughters, when they were young, and they would hear songs, and they would say, hey, wait a minute, isn't that in Beyonce's song or something like that? I say, well, they used that quick little sample in our song, but this was the group that did it, okay? So it turns out, anybody can sing the blues if they're good at it. I mean, to say that you're not allowed to do that, I mean, that would be like saying places like Stax, Vogt, Label in Memphis, Tennessee, shouldn't have had Booker T and the MGs with white guys like Steve Cropper, one of the greatest guitarists ever, or Donald Duck Dunn, one of the best bass players ever, playing all that music, the Marquees, two of whom were white, who became the Memphis Horns. Well, I'm just going to go on with groups like that. But what I'm saying is, if you're good at it, you do it. I'm like saying, I was a big Allman Brothers fan. You're going to say they're not allowed to sing blues? Well, in that case, let's take it a step further. If our culture is being raped and taken, and a lot of it had been, yes, but at the same time, all of our Black American music is a hybrid product of everything that we have attained or saw or witnessed or tried to work with and make function here. And that's where jazz comes from. That's why it's America's original art form. It's a compilation of everything that represented the Black experience juxtaposed against a white European culture in this country. And as far as I'm concerned, if the history of the Black person in America was put to a musical soundtrack, then that soundtrack should be a jazz soundtrack. That's just the way I feel about that. So we can't complain or say, and I think I heard him say something about, we haven't come anywhere from since the 1600s. He's making comparisons or something of that sort like that. And I'm saying, come on. Things are not as backwards as that. Things are not as racist as that. I know there's a lot of smart hate going on out here, and the wool is pulled over a lot of people's eyes in a lot of ways. But it's not as bad as that. If I had time on another show, if I had another hour, if I had more time to maybe even jot down some notes, I could elaborate it on a little further, but it just sounds like aimless meandering here, and I said I was going to just go ahead and capitalize on a lot of stuff that I was talking about here. So that is pretty much how I feel about the Oscars, and that's just pretty much how I feel about the take on white artists singing Black music. And it's just, it would make as much sense for them to say, we as Black people have no right to sing opera. Okay. Tiger Woods had no right to play golf. The Williams sisters have no right to play tennis. And the hell, then none of the Black guys running up and down the NBA basketball courts have no right to play that white sport, which was invented by a white guy. So come on. Where does it end? Where do you draw a line? And at what point are you going to finally say, hey, give that up? Just know where things came from. Know where, if that's possible in this life, to have better artistic insight with what you're listening to, but appreciate whoever is doing it. And that's all I'm going to say on that topic. Now, my home state, North Carolina, is under fire. It seems like North Carolina has decreed that transgender people should only use the bathrooms, the restroom facilities of the gender they were born as. Well, thus saith the North Carolina legislature anyway. Now, the Tar Heel State is under fire from various positions. LGBT celebs, even no state-sponsored trips, that's what I'm trying to say, to North Carolina from New York. It seems like New York didn't want to send state-sponsored trips there. Of course, I plan on going there in another couple of weeks, my home state. It seems like Bruce Springsteen was leading the charge. I don't know. It's been a few weeks now since this whole thing started. Oh, maybe he's the flag bearer at least. You know, it's not like North Carolina has not seen its share of homosexuals or transsexuality over the decades. So the whole existence of such people is definitely not an anomaly in North Carolina. I mean, you know, people saw them. They were here. They were there. I mean, I remember in North Carolina, this is in 1962, 63, in my homecoming game, and we had quite a few gays in my, not quite a few, but some, outstandingly, obviously gays in my high school. And one of them came to the homecoming football game in drag. In drag. He had said he was going to do that. And he came there in drag. Not a thing was done about it. So this whole thing about being exposed to homosexuality is not necessarily new to us. But I just have this feeling. And time is running down quicker than I thought. But I just have this feeling. Why don't we do like some restaurants? Just have restrooms, period. Doors locked. Somebody's in. They come out. Somebody else goes in. That would alleviate a lot of that. I can talk about this again on another show. But time is running down. And I wanted to hit on a couple of other topics. One of which I'm probably going to have to let go. Which one am I going to go to? One is assault rifles. Okay. Quick little point on assault rifles. No private citizen needs an assault rifle. No private citizen needs an assault rifle. I mean, even the mayor here, I mean, the governor here in New York, he says, even he has a Winchester shotgun at home, but he doesn't. And I mean, this is a guy that probably lives in the most secure house in New York State. But, you know, he says he doesn't see the need for anybody having an assault rifle. And as far as I'm concerned, too, the companies that manufacture some assault rifles shouldn't put them on the market to private businesses either. That would alleviate all this talk about guns, guns, guns. That would alleviate all this business. Next quick topic, women in combat. Boy, time runs out once you're starting sitting here and having fun and playing catch-up and doing something that you haven't done in one heck of a long time. And you notice I didn't give you a call-in number because I'm not giving any call-in numbers anymore. The show is called Shut Up and Listen, and the last time I got call-ins, I got all kind of cretins calling, people who have no more to do with their life than to sit up and troll the Internet looking for shows. I mean, pathetic creatures. Pathetic creatures. I mean, people that, I don't know, maybe at some point they could be done without here. I mean, who are these people? Are they married? Do they have girlfriends? Do they have even boyfriends? I mean, do they have any kind of life other than that? But anyway, we have the Army has 22 women ready for infantry training. And how we said, well, you know, why do women want to assume the worst of what it is to be a man? But women were special, I always felt. Not weaker, but different. But when we get to be just like each other, and there have always been situations like that, but when we go overboard in being just like each other, what's the difference in us being different then? You know what? This time has flown faster than I wanted it to. One day I'm going to try to ramp it up to an hour if anybody can stand it, or even if I can stand it. But in the meantime, I want to thank anybody who might have been listening or who might just happen to go to a podcast later and get this archived show. But anyway, you've been listening to Shut Up and Listen. I'm going to do this sometime next week, very soon, at any given time. So in the meantime, I want to bid everybody good night, and I want to bid everybody a happy 4th of July.